Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome into the Jayhawk Talk Podcast. I am Kevin. Joined with me, as always, is Andrew. Andrew, what'd you think of that game last night?
It's pretty awesome, Kevin. Pretty awesome indeed. If you were at Allen Field last night, at the Kentucky game, you were privileged to, well, unfortunately, it's tough to say, but the second best game of the month, but ordinarily would be one of the better games of the year, but such a great game. All the eyeballs were tuned to Kansas and Kentucky, and I don't think the game disappointed. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think so either. I'm not sure it was a particularly well-played game, but in terms of just, you know, close game, back and forth, two great programs, you know, slugging it out. I thought the Oklahoma-KU game was probably much better played, but this game was still a lot of fun, and obviously a lot more fun since we emerged with the victory. But, you know, for a while there, things weren't looking so hot. I mean, we weren't playing very well. Perry picked up his second foul early and just, I don't know, I wasn't feeling great. But, you know, somehow they find a way, and a little junk defense thrown in there for another talking point, which will be kind of fun to get into. But, you know, I don't know. It was a lot of fun to get the win. And honestly, maybe this SEC Big 12 challenge was what we needed to get back on track. I don't know.
Well, we got a lot to get to today, Kevin. Just to give you a little rundown, we're going to talk about Iowa State just for a little bit. Kentucky, talk a little bit about some junk defense, some Bill Self, old school hybrid man-to-man zone defense. Pick up on the Big 12 SEC challenge and then kind of preview what's going on next week. But before we get to any of that, kind of want to just run through some things from the Kentucky game yesterday, non-basketball related.
Okay.
So my brother and I showed up kind of early for the game. I mean, there was people everywhere. Lawrence was packed with not just Kansas fans, but with Kentucky fans as well. There were kind of all over Mass Street, all over everywhere. So, I mean, a lot of people, you know, came in from Omaha to see their Kentucky Wildcats play. Came in from Des Moines to see their Kentucky Wildcats play, which was kind of funny. But so we showed up early, and we're kind of waiting around outside Allen Fieldhouse for the doors to open. And we see the bus pull up, and we can kind of see through the front window. And my brother says to me, "Is that Calipari?" And I said, "No." The team couldn't be showing up this late because it was probably a little before 4. And no, sure enough, it was them. So we watched the Kentucky team get out of the boosters get out of their big buses. And Jamal Murray gets out of the bus and immediately spits on the ground. Oh. He's probably just spitting because, you know, people spit. But my brother, normally a pretty even-tempered, calm and collected guy, kind of like buddies, or this was real close to everybody. Nelson's up to this security guard, cop, who's standing right there. He's like, "You're gonna let him do that, cop? You're gonna let him do that? You're gonna let him do that to Allen Fieldhouse?" And the cop kind of starts laughing. But I have a picture of the little spit mark that he left, just in case the cop needed it. We were playing it up for the cop. So anyway, but it was fun to see the guys walk in. Other reactions from that is Scott Labissiere is the skinniest guy I've ever seen.
Yeah,
when you see him 2 feet away, his legs look like toothpicks. That's until I saw a video of Bull Bull later on in the day. He may be skinnier than Scott Labissiere. But I sent you that. Did you see that Vine I sent you?
Yes, that's hilarious.
Okay, so the Vine is of Bull Bull trying to do a windmill dunk from the free throw line, and he's probably about 7 feet short. But the Vine makes it seem like he's going to make it. Anyway, lots of hoopla for the game. Jamal Murray spit on the sidewalk at Allen Fieldhouse.
How dare
you? There was no Ashley Judd at this game. I was looking for her.
She's probably scoring from the last time she came to Allen Fieldhouse.
No. But I did see a guy wearing a clock, and it was like a neon glowing clock.
Okay.
Like that lit up, so like when the lights were off, you could see like, what's this guy? The last time you and I saw a guy wearing a clock, what happened, Kevin?
I think if I know where you're going with this, we were in Las Vegas, Nevada, in the limo line at the Palms Hotel and Resort Casino property, and we saw a man wearing a clock. That man was Flava Flav, trying to get in his limo, but our limo was blocking it. Is that where you're going with this?
That is right. So the last time someone said out loud, is that guy wearing a clock? The person actually was Flava Flav. This time it was not.
That's too bad.
I'd like to know who it was. But there's a lot of hoopla for this game. They did a big thing at halftime with the original rules of basketball.
Yeah,
so they
how
did
was
a
that?
Pretty cool video. Kind of just recounting David Booth's buying of it at Sotheby's.
Sure.
Kind of dragged on a little bit when they actually did the auction thing. But they brought him out. They showcased him. And everybody had got T-shirts that had No Place Like Home on the front. And then all of the original rules were written on the back. So that was pretty cool. I think the coolest thing that happened in the whole hoopla was Lil James Naismith.
Yeah, he was pretty well featured in the game day broadcast as well.
Oh, he was featured on the camera inside the outfield. That was quite a bit too. I don't know how it happened, but he probably the camping group folks and the students just went
like,
and got
let him in.
Because he just sat in the front row the whole time with the students. So that was pretty funny. But KU's kind of has a tradition of dressing their children up as Kansas sports figures.
Right.
You remember back to Baby Mangino.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of a
pretty brilliant
an instant classic online. But what other Lils do we need? Other mini KU sports figures do we need?
Well, we've seen the baby Andy Reid. You know, that's a pretty common one. I don't know. Like, what about like a baby Landon Lucas because it has like the same motor skills?
Oh,
as, like regularly. Was that mean? Was that mean? That was me. I take
Lil
it back.
Landon
that was me.
Lucas. Triple L.
I know you want to get a baby Tyshawn, but you really just want like me to name a baby Tyshawn, like my first child. So maybe if you're lucky, we'll get a baby Tyshawn. It'll probably be white, but you know that's okay.
That's okay.
Never that's know.
Okay. All right, let's move on to the actual basketball events of the week. All right, so we've got Iowa State listed here. We lost the game 85-72. I don't want to spend a ton of time on this because I mostly want to talk about the Kentucky game.
1 minute.
So you start. What do you have to say about the Iowa State game?
It sucked. It sucked. We were playing so well in the first half and then just came out and whatever that was in the second half. You know, we obviously knew that Iowa State was going to make a run, and we played much better than them in the first half and did not build a big enough lead. And I think everyone in the building knew that. I think, you know, I don't know, Bill Self knew that they let a lot get away in that first half. But man, I don't know. Obviously the biggest thing was just a complete lack of poise in that second half. Just struggle after struggle, like five straight turnovers or whatever it was. And you know, you gotta look down the line and just see who's gonna come in and step up in a situation like that. Who's gonna rally the team and, you know, bring the huddle a little closer and say, man, this can't happen. We just don't have that guy on the team. And that's just the reality. We just don't have that guy on the team. Luckily, when we go play in March Madness, we go play in postseason, we're not going to be playing on someone else's floor. We're going to be playing in a neutral, and that makes it a lot better. We're not going to have to go play in Hilton Coliseum or down in Gallagher Iba or whatever else. But man, that was the struggle in the second half. It was really hard to watch.
Yeah. I mean, my one reaction is everything was going so well.
Yeah.
And then the last 10 minutes happened. You know, at the 10 minute mark, we were tied 55-55. And then outscored 30-17 down the stretch. And I like what you said about the poise. And Bill Self had a quote about, you know, poise. Sometimes you have poise and you win. Sometimes you have poise and you lose. Sometimes you don't have poise and you lose. We didn't have poise and we lost.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you see those games where you play really well, just don't get the W.
Yeah, you need to have your A game in Hilton Coliseum. I mean, that's
and
just
we definitely
reality.
Did not no. have that. And, you know, I think the ultimate takeaway from this is it's just hard to win games in Hilton Coliseum, especially when Iowa State is really good and packed full of juniors and seniors.
Yeah, yeah, and they played well in the second half. They did not play well in the first half. We should have been up by 15 points in the first half. I mean, truly, but. That's how it goes. Tough to win on the road in the Big 12. We're seeing that more and more every week here, and I doubt it will be the last game we lose on the road. Hopefully not, but you never know. Let's get to this Kentucky game, Andrew. We had College Game Day in town. Did you watch some of that? I did. It was kind of fun, you know.
Yeah, it was good.
A little commercial for KU basketball never hurts. Good turnout, it looked like. I didn't like how they wouldn't let you go up Like the crowd was all spanned in that first section, so no one was like up above. So when they showed the camera angle, it looked like there was only like maybe 300 people there, because it was only, but they really just went sideways. So there were a lot of people there, but it was all kind of like panned shots would make it look good. But
maybe easier crowd control or something. I have no idea why they did that, because I think before they've just gone straight up.
It looked a lot cooler for pictures when you got everyone up top, but it doesn't look as cool for like panned shots. So I don't know what's better.
Speaking of pictures, part of the deal with the t-shirts that I mentioned earlier, everyone is given a t-shirt. One side was red, one side was blue. That's cool. What I'm not a huge fan of what they also did. I don't know if you could tell this from the TV, but the middle, in the middle, they had three stripes of white, which is like an Adidas advertisement.
Ugh.
So it's one side red, one side white, but three stripes of white t-shirts. So it's just a big, and then they did the camera thing with the gigapixel million bajillion pixels, so you can go tag yourself. Mm-hmm. But it's a big Adidas advertisement. I think that's fine, but Adidas just needs to get Kanye West to come to a game, and then all is forgiven.
Fair enough.
I mean, there's a rapper gap that we need to fill. I mean, Drake goes to Kentucky games. We just need to get Kanye on board, because he's an Adidas guy. This should be able to be.
We need to do a whole podcast on this issue and really need to like get work the phones a little bit and see what we can do about this. Like, I completely agree with you, and we have not prepared this, what kind of segment this needs to be to really cover it in full. But I'm with you, and we need to talk about this for an off-season podcast. Like, the entire podcast episode will be recordings of us calling rappers to see if they can come and be our representative.
Well, yeah. So, like I said, I'm okay with this Adidas thing. It looked a little corny. If they can make it up to us in this specific way.
We don't need corny things at KU. Like, that's the kind of stuff, that's my kind of takeaway. Like, you don't have to do crazy promotions for KU basketball, especially KU Kentucky. Like, you don't need to do those types of things.
Well, and an advertisement for a shoe company that's built into the
structure
of the... I'm not a huge fan of that.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's just speaking of Adidas and et cetera, et cetera. But, okay, I think the most important thing we need to talk about from this game is Wayne Selden's dunk.
Could not agree more. I'm glad you're leading off with this. You did not have the benefit of replay when you were watching it in person.
No, I was too busy like running around in the packed stands, holding like my face, everyone, and saying, "He finally did it! He finally did it!"
He's been trying to dunk on someone.
He's been trying to do that dunk for. I mean, you texted me like he's been trying to do it all year. He's been trying to do that dunk for 3 years, Kevin.
I know. He finally did it.
Every time, it's like. Every time he launches up, you see him cock his arm back in the whole stadium. Everyone at home, everyone who's watching it on the future and YouTube, all say to themselves, "Oh," and then it always ends with a, "Oh."
It's kind of like those mixtapes. You know, like when you watch a recruit's mixtape, it'll do like this slow motion thing where you're like, "Oh, damn, he's about to dunk on somebody." But they missed it, so they cut away to, like, the next thing.
Right.
And you're like, what happened on that one?
You get the wind-up.
What happened on
that
one? You know he missed
it. This time was Scott LaBissiere standing in the way.
It actually went
number one pick. Whatever. Standing in the way. He winds up, cocks his arm back, launches in the air. Everyone in the stadium goes, "Oh!" And finally, everyone explodes because he makes the dunk.
It was nasty, too. It was nasty. I was so excited. Like, people were messaging me, like, "He actually dunked one." And
finally did it.
I was
like
running around my living room.
Before. He's gotten plenty of dunk before, but not like this.
Not like that. You know, he does this little thing. Like, and a lot of times when he dunks the ball, if you notice this, like, he, like, barely gets above the rim and dunks it. Like, even on that two-hand slam, like, I was a little worried. But on that one, he actually used some athleticism, got up there. Yes, I was jacked. In fact, I rewound it mid-game. Like, when you're watching the game and you, like, wait for the timeout to rewind it. Nuh-uh. My wife's like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I got to see it again." I rewound it, like, live in-game and watched it again. I'm like, yes! All right, we can watch the rest now. But anyway, that was a good dunk. Good for him. Wayne, I don't know what happened to Wayne. Wayne found an angel or something last night, because he was real good. 33 points, career high, obviously. 3 for 5 from three. I don't know why he didn't shoot 20 of them, because he was going to make anything he wanted last night. But whatever. Those threes did get us back in the game. He had some very timely three-pointers. No question, his best game is a Jayhawk. I mean, not even close, right?
I can think of a couple that, like, you know, he had 24, 25. But this game, like probably that. One of the biggest games he's played in, was the best player on the floor. Tyler Ulis probably has an argument there.
Man, Ulis was sick. He was out of control good. But
Wayne was the best player on the floor in timely spots. You know, he carried us at the end where Ulis did not.
That was the difference, exactly. And really picked us up, because Perry was not so good. Obviously you can give him a little bit of a break since he had those early two fouls and maybe never got into the flow of the game, but I thought it was a little surprising. Self didn't bring him back in at all in the first half. I mean, obviously it gave an opportunity for Diallo and Bragg to play some minutes, which was good. They actually played pretty well. But it's almost like Self treated Perry like he's a really foul prone guy and, you know, or a freshman or something like that. I mean, like, when was the last time Perry fouled out?
Yeah, but it was really early. It's not like he was,
I understand,
5 minutes left in the first half. I mean, it was, was it 14 minute mark?
Yeah, something like
he,
that.
He picked up the second foul. You know, we say that this could have been Wayne's best game as a Jayhawk. This may have been Perry's, one of his worst in terms of, you know, from the field.
Yeah. He doesn't and like Kentucky.
I say this for a couple reasons. He had 10 points, but he only had one field goal. And that was the first bucket of the game. And that was scored at 19:51, 9 seconds into the game. Did not have another field goal the entire game. Yeah. Now, that's a little different because he was fouled basically every time he got the ball down low. You know, taking 13 foul shots. And, you know, so he went 8 for 13.
You look at his stat line, he actually did have 10 points and 9 boards. Like, you look at it, like, you know.
But one field goal. He had one field goal.
I know.
Fouled a lot. You know, 8 for 13 from the free throw line. It is what it is, but those were so timely misses. Like, we should have won that game in regulation based on free throw shooting, but did not quite get there. In terms of, you know, should he have kept playing? I don't know, Kevin, but, you know, Diallo and Bragg, as you said, you know, filled in quite nicely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did. I mean, they played good minutes. You know, down the stretch of the second half, they were, Kentucky did go on a little run there. I know Diallo wasn't in the game during that stretch, but I think it might have been Bragg and Traylor who were in the game during that stretch. I can't remember, actually, but I'm pretty sure Traylor was in there. Either way, it just seemed like a good opportunity to get Perry back in for the last couple of minutes. Who cares if he picks up his third with, you know, and I don't know. I didn't love it, but, you know, whatever. We went into halftime, made some much needed adjustments in the second half, and we'll get to the old junk defense. I remember tweeting at halftime, "Zone defense is a coming," and that's all I tweeted, and I got like 9 responses. People were like, "Self won't do it, you know, he's too hard headed, too whatever." And then like next thing you know, we're doing a triangle and two out there, which I didn't expect that, but it worked.
Yeah, so it started right at the 10-minute mark, and there was a couple possessions in there where we mixed in some man. But if you don't know what the triangle into is, it's kind of Bill Self's last trick in his basket, last trick in the bottom of his bag. It's part man, part zone. 3 players play zone, and 2 players play man-to-man. And the zone players, they play in a triangle to protect the basket, so... one guy plays at the free throw line, and probably the 2 biggest guys, and not always, play down low with the blocks. And then the other 2 players on the perimeter play man-to-man on the guards, and so it's really meant to guard against players with strong perimeter games. And in this game, it was Tyler Ulis and Jamal Murray, who were kind of the stars of the team, stars of the game, killing us. And so you put Mason on Ulis and Seldon on Murray, and then the rest of the team plays zone, and it worked?
Yeah.
They had no answer for it. For the game, Kentucky shot 72% of their twos. So, I mean, they're getting close shots in the paint. But in the second half, they were 0 for 9 from 3, taking bad guarded three-pointers. We took away the drive to the inside, specifically from Tyler Ulis. And, you know, we started using it right before the 10-minute mark. And up until the 4:30 mark, the only basket we gave up was a tip shot that Jamal Murray made after a desperation heave at the end of a shot clock. So we played, you know, great defense for 29 and a half seconds. And then Jamal gets a put back on the rebound. But that's the only shot they made in 5 minutes and 30 seconds during that defensive stretch. And they only scored 12 points in the last 10 minutes. So that really got us, you know, put us back in the game, give us a lead for a while, and what, you know, pushed us into overtime.
What was crazy is during that stretch, you know, we were not very good on offense either. I mean, but that was a stretch where we could have really taken a, you know, if we'd have made some shots during, I think if I remember right, during that entire stretch that you're talking about right there, we made like one or two field goals. We made a bunch of free throws, but we weren't shooting the ball well either, even in that stretch. But they gave us, I mean, whatever happened there in their minds when they saw that triangle in two, where they just kind of didn't have an answer. I mean, that was obviously the biggest turning point of the game, because they didn't have an answer. We could have, you know, taken over control there, or they could have figured out and also taken over control. Like, it was one of those times both teams were not doing anything on offense, but they were bailing us out with some fouls, obviously, and we kind of slowly clawed back in and, you know, at least finally got the game back in a point where we had a chance. And man, I think you're right. I think the junk defense, the triangle and two, was the cause of that turnaround.
Yeah. And I think that a lot of people think that the term junk defense has a pejorative meaning like it's
kind of does.
Well, I mean, but junk defense doesn't necessarily mean like it's junk. But it's just, you know, cross between man and zone. Give them a different look, take away the perimeter. And they didn't attack it. There are ways to attack that defense, and they didn't do it.
Sure. And, I mean, I think we're maybe even underselling how good Tyler Ulis was in that first half. I mean, he was insanely good. He got anything he wanted. Anything. And, like, and correct me if you've seen this before, but, like, the other team's best guard is getting past the KU's guards and just scoring or passing or making, you know, anything he wants in the paint. Like that happens. That's happened all year. Like we got to figure something out there, and maybe this triangle and two, we're going to go to again next time, you know, we play West Virginia and their guards are getting past us, or next time we play Iowa State and their guards are getting past us. You know, I don't think this will be the last time we see that, because we obviously have a deficiency on, you know, out in the front with our guards being able to face guard. I mean, we've seen it over and over and over again this year. Maybe Self is starting to kind of tweak a few things, and when that's not working, when the traditional man's not working, at least we got a little bag of tricks to go to.
Well, and let's get into Andrew's deep dive here. This is Bill Self's uses of these junk defenses in the past. I think the most famous time that this has been used is against North Carolina in the Elite Eight in St. Louis in 2012, where for the last 15-10 minutes, Kansas went to that, pulled away from North Carolina after, you know, probably being ahead, or it was tied at halftime, and then kind of back and forth for the first 5-10 minutes, and then put that defense in, and we won by 10. And Roy Williams is famously quoted as saying, or not realizing that Kansas had gone to zone or had gone to that right type of defense. Didn't even know. We also used it against Purdue in 2012. And I think that one that I remember quite vividly is using it against Jacob Pullen. But we didn't do a triangle and two. One, right? We did a box and one. So that's four players play zone, kind of boxing up around the paint. And then one person guards Jacob Pullen man-to-man. Just because he was killing us. He was the only one who could do anything. So everyone else plays zone. Someone guard Jacob Pullen really tight.
Suddenly, Hunter doesn't feel so alone, like the floating defender in a box in one zone.
That's right. That's right.
It came back.
That's my my deep dive is, you know, people say, oh, Bill Self's too hot-headed to go to a zone defense like that. Not necessarily true. In big games, in March,
he's done it.
Or in conference play, has used it before, and it's been quite successful. They do practice it, not tons, as they said in the post game, but they do practice it.
So, Andrew, I have an idea here. Obviously, Self has gone to a bag of tricks on defense, calling them junk defenses, as you did. I think we need to come up with some more junk defenses that Self can go to. And I've got one just right off the top of my head I think you're going to like. It's called the Pentagon and Five. So you've heard of a box and one. You've heard of a triangle and two. The Pentagon and Five. So it's a zone defense where all five defenders play zone, except they're only allowed to guard one guy. So
like a specific guy?
Yeah, no, they have to guard the same guy over and over again, but it's a Pentagon and five. So it's a Pentagon, but it's a they have to guard one guy. What do you think?
That sounds like a 5-0.
Like, what do you mean?
Like man to man.
Well, yeah, it sounds like it, but like it's a junk defense because it's called Pentagon and five.
I think you're just coming up with a new name for man to man defense.
I might have. All right, do you have one? You got one that's better?
I'm going to call it the Dorito defense.
Okay.
Because it's junk. It's junk food. But basically, it's illegal in the NBA to do this. But basically, just have Diallo stand at the basket and try to block everything and not guard anyone specifically. Because he can't. Well, he if he plays help defense, he screws up. If he sticks to his guy, he screws up. So just tell him to do one thing. You're only playing help defense again at the rim.
Okay. That's all right.
So it's the Dorito defense.
That's not similar
for any other reason.
That sounds sort of similar to my pizza box in one.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So the pizza box in one defense, really, you just put a bunch of pizzas in the opposing team's locker room at halftime. So you assume they'll eat them all because they will. And then when they come out at half, they're going to play a little slower because they're full of pizza.
Ah, pizza box in one. That's pizza box the best one. Defense I've ever heard.
I got one more.
Okay.
I got one more.
Okay.
This is the fast.
I didn't realize you had so many of these.
They just keep rolling off the top of my head here. This is the Fast and Furious.
Oh, see, I'm already ready to run.
I know,
this,
right? This okay. Is perfect. So here's how it works. You put in all your fastest guys in the game and you press like crazy. Like you press so hard. So that's like the fast part. And then if for some reason they get past your press, you just foul them really hard. And that's the Furious.
That's
so like
furious.
Fast and Furious defense. So like you press like crazy, and if they get past you, just grab them or tackle them or like.
Well, I think
push
you need to have an offensive component to this because I think you're going to give up a lot of twos. So you need to give up twos for threes. So
but this is
junk
defense.
All perimeter. Yeah, I know, but it has to work together. So it's got to be an all perimeter based 3-point shooting team. Only shoot threes, kind of like that team up in Iowa.
Sure. Yeah. That team.
So we're going to score like 150 points a game, but give up 140.
Right.
But Fast and Furious, I'm on board. I'm on board.
All right. Good.
Well, as long as I'm the Vin Diesel of this.
Of course.
This family.
Of course.
Okay.
I'll be the Rock.
All right. We're good to go.
All right. Let's get into talking about some games coming up this week. Andrew, kind of. When you look at it, you're like, ew, K-State and TCU, like, doesn't sound very exciting. But maybe this is the week these boys need. K-State has actually been playing pretty well. They just can't win. And this game will be in Allen Fieldhouse on Wednesday. So hopefully, this will be a game that KU comes out and gets the job done. K-State has routinely not played very well in Allen Fieldhouse. But it is a, quote, rivalry game. What do you think about that?
Well, the state of the rivalry, you know, after Mizzou, K-State was supposed to kind of assume that mantle. And I think that, you know, kind of bared out to be true that first year, that 2013 year where K-State tied for the Big 12 title with KU. But since then, you know, the big games we've had haven't been against K-State. I think we've lost to them in Bramlage, but the big games are coming from elsewhere. All of our attention is not going to K-State. It's going to Iowa State. It's going to OU. And then we've got these other big games coming in Kentucky. So our energy is not focused to K-State. K-State is kind of an afterthought.
Yeah.
Is that what you think?
Yeah, I think so too. It's, I don't know what, I don't even know what you call it.
I think it'll be juiced in their own Wednesday.
Sure,
sure. It'll also be crazy, but it's not going to be the biggest game of the year.
No, I agree. And I think we've talked about this a number of times, but it's obviously a bigger game probably for those in Western Kansas that have to like live around more K-State fans and have to deal with them and have to, you know, that whole thing. I kind of get that component a little bit, but just like in Kansas City and really just anywhere east of Topeka, I think this game is not still quite grasping rivalry status. Self in the post game actually did call it, you know, a rivalry game and wanted to, you know, try to make sure the field house was going to bring the same energy it did for the Kentucky game. But I don't know. The Sunflower Showdown just doesn't quite get me too hyped these days. Now, it obviously gets K-State hyped because inside Bramlage, they've done a really good job playing against KU. It's become a very tough road game and road atmosphere, especially since we haven't really won there very much recently. But I don't know. Maybe it starts with the name Sunflower Showdown. Like, does that sound scary? Like Border War. That sounded tight. Sunflower.
Well, that did change to the Border Showdown, but no one called it that.
Exactly. But Sunflower Showdown? I mean, that sounds terrible. So I actually went out to Twitter and asked, you know, what's a better name for this game than Sunflower Showdown? Because I truly believe for a good rivalry game to happen, it needs to have a good name. You know what I mean? Like Red River Rivalry. That's some good shit right there. Border War. Yeah, now we're talking. Sunflower Showdown? Come on. Like, if you put that on a t-shirt, I'm not wearing it. That sounds so lame. All right, so I went out to Twitter. Before I went out to Twitter, I wrote down my own. I want to see if you like any of these. Number one, this one's my favorite, so I'm going to start with this one. Ad Astra per ass whooping. Do you like that?
I don't think Hy-Vee is going to sponsor that title.
Okay, we'll go for some Hy-Vee ones.
You're not going to be able to get the Hy-Vee.
But I'm going to put that on a t-shirt. That on a t-shirt. That's a great t-shirt.
All right.
Ad Astra per ass whooping? All right. Hear about this. How about this? The Western Meadowlark Melee.
Western Meadowlark Melee.
Okay, so we're like going through Kansas things like Sunflower Showdown. Like that's the state flower. I just did the state bird. How about the state reptile? The ornate box turtle tussle. What do you think of that?
I see where this is going.
Yeah, I just use Wikipedia here. I'm going to be honest with you. Right. Here's some more. The barred tiger salamander skirmish. Huh?
Is that the official lizard?
I think so. Or something like that. I don't remember. Then we have the bread basket battle, the wheat state wallop, and the home on the range raucous. So that's that's what I came up with. I think my favorite from Twitter, though, was from our pal Jesse Newell over there at the Capital Journal. The clash on the caw.
I like that.
Isn't that nice? That one's actually pretty good. We got some more here. Let me see if we got the Meadowlark Madness from J.S. Krenz, the Sunflower Beatdown. There were actually several of those. I thought that was interesting. The Wheat State War, the Battle of Neighbors, Meadowlark Massacre. Hey, here's another box turtle beatdown. Apparently,
<Whoa! laughs> great minds think alike.
Let's see. Bill Self versus Bill Self's Shadow. That was from Darren Reed. This one was pretty good. This was from at True Rock Chalk. Rock the Cat's Baw. Okay.
We're pushing it here.
I think so too. The Bloody Brick Road. Limit. Ooh. The Bloody Brick Road is that. See, that's a good name though. Like, you know, like the Border War, the Bloody Brick Road.
All right, I think that's my favorite.
You like that? That was from Jayhawk Cat. And then here's one. So it used to be called Snob Hill versus Silo Tech when my dad was in college.
Yeah, you still see that name pop up. Every once in a while. Both sides calling each other.
Anyway, so there you go. There's Silo some names
Tech.
To, We need to petition whoever's, you know, in charge of that to come.
Hy-Vee. Hy-Vee's is the one Hy-Vee's? Who sells the t-shirts.
All right. Well, what do we need to know about K-State, Andrew?
Well, they are 2-6 in the Big 12 and 13-8 overall. You know, this kind of a completely new team because everyone on last year's team was such a mess. Just a whirlwind of awfulness, even though they did beat us. That it's kind of a completely new team, but players to watch for, two holdovers, Wesley Wundu and Justin Edwards finally getting a shot to be the leaders in the team, and they are doing that in terms of points. But we should also pay attention to some freshmen. Dean Wade, we've talked about him on the podcast
before,
on the Big 12 preview. He's a freshman from St. John, Kansas, which is, I think, just south of Great Bend, a little town south of Great Bend. Averages about 10 points a game, and Kamal Stokes is a freshman from Baltimore, averages 9.4 points a game. So those freshmen are contributing to the Wildcat team. In terms of a matchup, K-State's never played well in Allen Fieldhouse. I think the last time they beat us was 10 years ago with Jim Woolridge.
Oh, yeah. And
random game like that.
I sat with Kathleen Sebelius in that game.
Oh, yeah. You know, one thing about Kathleen Sebelius, she invented the dab.
Is that so?
She invented the dab. Yeah, she did it unintentionally because she was teaching everyone how to sneeze into their elbow.
Okay.
But in doing so, taught everyone a new dance move popularized by Cam Newton.
I had no idea.
Yeah, so shout out to Kathleen Sebelius for inventing the dab.
Mm-hmm. You know, K-State, I was just looking on KenPom. I don't know what the line's going to be. I mean, I assume it's going to be like, you know, 10 points or 11 points, maybe even more. He's only got KU winning 75-67 at KU. I thought that was kind of interesting. And he's got K-State at 44 in his little rankings. So a top 50 KenPom team in K-State. They've lost a lot of games in the Big 12, but they've all been kind of close. I mean, they lost 87-83 to West Virginia, 60-57 to Texas, 79-72 to Baylor in double overtime. I mean, they've had a lot of games that if they would have flipped one way or the other, you know, they'd actually probably be in the bubble conversation. Maybe they are anyway. If they win a couple of games down the stretch, maybe one or two they aren't supposed to. So anyway, that'll be interesting. I think I like KU by double digits in this game, but I just paused for a second based on the KenPom stuff.
Yeah, I do too. If they're going to get in the conversation for the NCAA tournament, they're going to have to get some wins. And if you look at their schedule, I just don't know where they're going to come from.
Yeah, they got a rough stretch here.
Yeah.
Kansas, Oklahoma, Baylor is their next three games. So
if they don't get a win there, they're 2-9 in the Big 12. And
right.
Not going to put them over the edge.
That's rough.
Not even close. Well, let's move on to TCU. We go to Fort Worth. This is our second matchup. We played TCU once already. In the first matchup, we won 70-63. It's a little misleading because it was really a 15-point game the entire game, but they just kind of made up some ground in garbage time. They're 135th in KenPom, which is not great.
No.
But they have one of the worst offenses, but they've got a top 40 defense. We were up by 15 for most of the game in Allen Fieldhouse, but I don't think we played great against them. You know, no, they got a pretty good defense. We didn't do a whole lot. And they played without Malik Trent, their leading scorer. He did not play in the first matchup at Allen Fieldhouse. He scored 15 points against Tennessee. I'm not saying this is a lookout game, sleeper game, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, we've lost this game before. You know,
yeah.
Perry's freshman year was probably the worst game in Bill Self's career at Kansas. You know, Texas also lost to TCU in Fort Worth. And I think that's their only win this year in the Big 12. Is that right? That's right.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, a quality team like Texas can go into Fort Worth and lose. You know, anybody can. So something to watch out for, even though they're probably ranked KenPom and otherwise worst in the Big 12.
Yeah, and you know, this is maybe a look by game with West Virginia and Oklahoma as our next two games after this game. So we play TCU on Saturday, and then West Virginia comes to town on Tuesday. So it'll be kind of a quick turnaround against a good team. Hopefully they're not looking ahead to next week, especially, you know, like you said, against TCU, a team that has gotten a little better, that can shoot the ball and you know, obviously showed that they could beat Texas, who gave us a little battle. And then they just won against Tennessee, who's not any good, but they still beat Tennessee. So hopefully our guys won't overlook that game. I'm not terribly concerned, but man, the Big 12 on the road, you just never know. I mean, truly, it just seems like this year, more than any year ever, I mean, we lost to freaking Oklahoma State, who's terrible. So I think we will get TCU's best shot. And if we're not there, if we didn't show up, man, you never know.
I agree. Well, let's move on and talk about the Big 12.
Oh, do you want me to do a drop?
Yeah.
I'll do a drop. Okay, hang on. Let me just give me a second, Andrew.
Y'all ready for this? Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
How about playing a little defense? You ever heard of that one, Stan?
BCS. BCS.
Dollar signs. Dollar signs.
All right, there's your drop. Are you happy
Thank
now?
You. Thank you. I think the people at home want to hear that.
Okay. I don't know if they do or not.
Even though it's mostly football reference. All right, so the Big 12 won the SEC Challenge 7-3. They are 3-for-3 in the past 3 years of the Big 12 SEC Challenge. Kevin, do you like it being played in the middle of the year?
Not really, but at the same time, like, since we won, I kind of like it. I mean, it probably was actually good timing this year because we needed something different. I mean, after coming away from that Iowa State game and sky's falling in Kansas and people are talking about Bill Self and 3-5 or three losses out of 5 games. I don't know. Maybe it was a good kind of regroup effort. This game didn't matter a lot, you know, in terms of the kind of grand scale. It's probably a good resume win in terms of the, you know, tournament seeding, but it didn't really matter in the Big 12. And so maybe that was a nice, I don't know, refresh or regroup or restart or something. And I guess we'll see whether that was the case, but I don't know. I kind of liked it this year, but maybe just in general, not a lot. You?
You know, I think I agree with you. If we would have lost the game, I would probably hate it. But because right. We won, I'm like, okay, I'm on board.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. Yeah, it was a good time.
It kind of just depends on, you know, because we know the outcome. So I think I'm on board that way, too. I mean, it does kind of put this weird pause to Big 12 play, which is such a hyper focus for right. for the Big 12 and for KU fans and players. So kind of just a weird halftime. Or third time.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was a good showing, you know, highlights of it. KU, Kentucky had all the eyeballs in college basketball glued to it. And, you know, and OU had a good showing and a comeback win against LSU.
Yeah.
In terms of lowlights, West Virginia did not show up. Did not show up versus Florida. Got blown out.
Yeah.
Down there in Gainesville. Not sure what happened. I mean, I think it goes to show you can take care of the ball and play good and rebound the ball. Play good post defense, you're going to beat West Virginia. I think we knew that, and Florida just executed that really well.
And that's going to hurt them in the Big 12 Jayhawk Talk power rankings, even though they lost outside of the Big 12.
All right, I want another drop. Let's move on to power rankings.
God dang it. Hang on. Power ranking.
We do
there
this
it is.
Every week. We do
I'm
this
so,
every
well,
week.
Usually I'm the one that calls the drops. I'm over here producing the show. I'm trying to do everything myself. You're over there trying to just do what...
The power lies on their side. Go, go, Power Rankers!
Are you happy?
That's right. Well, I'm not incredibly happy because I don't have KU number one. But I have OU number one, KU number two. I think I moved them up with that win at Kentucky, and Iowa State down with the loss to A&M, even though that had nothing to do with...
And Iowa State beat KU this week.
That's right. But... That's okay. These are my rankings.
Little recency bias, but I'm not
too
mad
mine.
At it.
These are mine. So I've got OU, KU, Iowa State 3, West Virginia 4, Baylor 5, because, you know, that's what we do, and Texas 6, K-State 7, Oklahoma State 8, Texas Tech 9, TCU 10. In danger of doing the same thing we did to West Virginia and putting TCU at the bottom the week we play them, but I think they probably deserve to be there.
Yeah, probably. I was just looking at KenPom's rankings, KenPom's power rankings of the Big 12. Obviously, Oklahoma number one, but it still has West Virginia number two, even after that loss. And then Iowa State number three, KU number 4 on KenPom.
Yeah, KU's dropped in KenPom.
Lot.
But whatever statistics they are putting into that formula have not gone KU's way.
No, they've
the
not.
2 weeks or so. We were 1-2-3 the entire year, and then suddenly we dropped down to 15.
Right. And it's kind of funny watching, like, K-State, for instance. I mean, they started at 109, and then at the start of the Big 12, get this. Okay, so this is kind of funny. At the start of the Big 12, they were 73. And then they lost. And all three losses, their KenPom got better. So they went from 73 to 62 to 55 to 51 to 44 to 38. And in that stretch, they went from 73 to 38. They won one game in five games. Wow. So wins don't necessarily mean anything in the KenPom ratings. It's all kind of the stats you're putting up. But like I said, I mean, K-State lost some close games there, but kind of interesting to watch that.
Let's talk about the games this week in the Big 12. Couple big matchups starting on Monday, Texas at Baylor. Couple top of the heap teams. The Longhorns go into Waco. Kevin, pick that one.
I think Baylor will win that game, but I got it like 3 or 4 points. I think it'll be a close game.
Okay, let's move on to Tuesday. TCU at OU. Probably don't need to pick that one, but we do need to pick West Virginia at Iowa State. What are your thoughts?
That'll be a good one. I still think Iowa State's going to win that game. Yeah, I think they win that game. I think they just got too much offensively. Too good a guard play. I was just looking on KenPom. Looks like they got West Virginia losing that game as well. 81-77. That feels about right. I don't know if they can score that much, though. It might be closer to an 8 or 9 point game. I think Iowa State wins.
All right, let's move on to Wednesday. Oklahoma State at Texas Tech. Probably don't need to pick that one. K-State at KU. You picked a double-digit win. I will go along with you on that. Let's move on to the second round of games on Saturday. KU at TCU. Thoughts?
I think here's my take here. I think the Kentucky game got us regrouped. I think we're going to come out against K-State. We're going to win by 15 points. I think we're going to take the same approach down to TCU and win by about that many again. I'm hoping, maybe I'm taking a positive stance here, some crimson and blue colored glasses or whatever, but I don't know. I'm kind of thinking we might have hit rock bottom and now we're going up. So I'm going to take a double-digit victory both times this week.
You? I like it. I totally agree.
For what it's worth, KenPom has us winning 76-67.
Okay, that's a 9-point win. Iowa State goes to Okie State. We lost at Okie State. Will the Cyclones go into Stillwater and get a win?
Yes.
They will. Okay, I agree. You shouldn't lose there. I don't know what happened with this. Texas Tech goes to Texas. OU goes to K-State. You know, they lost both those games last year.
That will be a huge game for K-State, especially if they lose, you know, to KU, obviously. I think they got a chance. You never know. The problem with K-State is they can't make threes. They're 344th in the country in making threes. So, like, if you're going to knock off a good team, you got to make some baskets, and maybe they'll just find fire one of these nights, but they're going to have to. For the record, Oklahoma losing or winning, but only by 4 points. So,
one to watch on Saturday, and the last one to watch, Baylor at West Virginia.
Another good one.
Oof. What do you think?
I actually think Baylor wins.
Oh, Baylor getting some wins.
I know. They have not played West Virginia yet, but for some reason, I don't trust West Virginia. I didn't really trust them when we were going in to play them. We played terribly. We didn't have an answer for the press, whatever. I still think they're kind of a one-trick pony, man. I think, like we talked about, they're about to take some steps back in the second half of the Big 12. And I know this isn't second half of the Big 12 yet because Baylor hasn't played West Virginia, but I don't know. I think there's some holes being exposed there, and we'll see. I could be wrong.
Okay, well, that closes out the Big 12. Pretty good week. Lost to Iowa State. You know, it happens, but a big win against Kentucky. I'm going to go out on a hot take here, Kevin.
Hot take.
I don't think I hate John Calipari like a lot of people do.
Yeah, you know, like all week he's been all like, KU's great and I love Outfield House.
Maybe he's just buttered me up.
Maybe he's buttering us up.
I think he's buttered me up. You know, he's a slick guy.
He is a slick guy. You're right there.
That's how he gets all these recruits. I think he's buttering us up by just giving us all these compliments, saying how great Lawrence is and how great KU is. You know what I really like? Did you see the little video of him running into some fans?
That was funny.
The night before, where like, you ready to take that loss tomorrow? And he said, yeah, we probably will. Yeah, I think it kind of endeared me a little bit. So
handled it beautifully for what that could have been.
Don't like John Calipari, but I don't think I hate him.
I'm kind of with you. I mean, we're obviously going to go up against him a lot in recruiting. So Self and him probably don't have like the best relationship. Because you know Kentucky negative recruits against Self. Like, of course they do. I mean, that's just, everybody does it. But, yeah, I don't know. Did you see that picture of Self and Calipari in the pregame with, like Self, like, sort of uncomfortably laughing, and Calipari's, like, got his arm on Self's elbow and just, like, cracking up about something? Like, he cracked a joke, and Calipari thought it was way funnier than Self did. Anyway, you got to see this picture because it's really funny. I'll try to post it on that.
I did not see it. I did see when they went out and met, you know, Calipari kept grabbing his arm.
Yeah, he likes to chat. He's a chatty guy.
Okay, but let's close out here. Tell the folks how they can listen to us.
Of course. Yeah, find us on iTunes. Please continue to rate our podcast, review, and comment. Comments are awesome. They help us improve the show and also get the show out to new listeners. We had a comment this week from The Flyover. It said, as a displaced Kansas fan, the podcast has been my lifeline for all things KU. Well done, enjoyable to listen to. The dunk count for this podcast goes to 11. I like that. That's a listen. So thank you very much, The Flyover, and please continue to leave those comments, rate, review, subscribe, and you can find me at Jayhawk Talk on Twitter. You can find Andrew at Sherlock Hoops, and until next week,
rock Chuck. Rock Chuck Kevin.
That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us. They know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Uh-huh, yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the fans.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering. All them tournaments appearing with no team that's interfering. Nine times get to cheering with them banners held high and the crowd going wild. Night before the Final Four, you can't even sleep now. Yeah, we at the peak now, we can't even leap down. March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court, so we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together, but win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man, but one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck J-Hawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck J-Hawk in your faces.
It's for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my